How are you guys doing this morning? Good. I'm glad you're all here this morning. And I know what you're all thinking. I already know what you're thinking. Is this guy preach like he preached last Sunday? And the answer is yes. So change your lunch reservation to 12:30 as we break down Genesis through Revelation in song and sermon. No, I'm only kidding. It'll be hopefully a nice one, impacted, short, whatever God wants is what I'm willing to do. So good morning. I'm so glad you're all here this morning. This is Centerpoint First Baptist Church, and I'm glad you're here because if you weren't here, I'd be preaching to my family, and they hear about it all the time. So I get to preach to somebody else, so that's wonderful. This is the last sermon in this leadership series called Pipeline. This sermon's called Every Believer is a Follower. And so we're going to break down that pipeline point and that whole leadership point and that follower point. But here's what I want you to take home for just this 1 second. We're going to unpack it in a bit. Is every believer is a follower. That word follower. We got to know who it is that we are following, correct? Amen. We have to know who it is that we're following. So do you know who it is that you're following? Okay, one more time. Do we know who it is that we're following? Who is it? It's Jesus, right? Amen. See, that's awesome. That's what I want, this interactive. Don't be afraid to interact with me, to say amen and to say praise God and even, you know, jump up from your seat. Just don't run around because our liability insurance doesn't cover that. But we're going to unpack that whole follower. So before we do that, let's get started with prayer, okay? Father God, thank you so much for this day that you have given us. Lord, thank you so much for each one that's here, for this moment, for this time, for these people. Lord, you have brought them here to this place for this message. Lord, it's nothing about me. Father, in fact, if there's anything of me in this message, I ask that you just clam me up. Let you speak through me, Father. Let it impact their hearts and minds, open their eyes and their ears to all the wonderful things that you have planned and in store for them. Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you open up your bulletins and get out your outlines, we're going to unpack Jesus. So it starts off in Ephesians 2:10, right there at the beginning of your outline. It says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. So there's a couple of words that I want to really kind of have you underline, and we're going to kind of, you know, touch basis on, and that is workmanship, underline created and prepared and beforehand, because this shows some importance here. God is patient, right? God is patient in everything he does. I'm a workman. I like to work. I like to build things, and it's amazing when I go and try to give people a bid that they get blown away how long it would take or how much money it takes to do something. You know, I wanted to build a cabinet for my washer and dryer. I built my house 11 years ago. I just finished the cabinet, right? I just now finished the cabinet for my wife, okay? That's patience. My wife is really patient, but we're not talking about my wife. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about patience. God is patient. Throughout the Bible, God never rushes in to do anything, right? He is always patient. Lazarus dies, and they want Jesus to come now, but they wait for Jesus. Jesus took his time getting there. There was this patience with Jesus. So God works his best with us when we are patient and when we wait upon him. There's this, what I'll give you, it's the prodigal son. The only time God rushes into anything is the story of the prodigal son. Now, the father is Jesus, is God. That's the father. And the son had went off and went on his own. And he comes back home realizing he made some big mistakes. And he's so much better off working for his dad than being his son. And so he comes. He's just cresting over the hill. And the father sees him and rushes to him. This is the only time in God's word that God rushes to do anything. And that's when a sinner repents. Little nugget of wisdom for you. If you're going to want to repent, if you're going to want to face up or own up to your life or what's going on, God's going to rush right into you. God will never be patient about that. but he's patiently working out everything else, right? Abraham, let's take Abraham for instance. He waited 25 years to get a son. Joseph waited 13 years before his dream came true. Moses waited 4 years just to see the promised land. And Jesus was 12 years old when he went to the temple, when he went to his father's house. He was only 12 years old. I love this story. Jesus was following Mary and Joseph. They were heading back. 3 days into the journey, they're wondering, Mary and Joseph are wondering, where's Jesus? And where is this kid? They're going around, up and down, couldn't find him. They go all the way back to town. You know where Jesus is? He's in his father's house. 12 years. And then they go, Jesus, what's going on? The perfect 12-year-old response. Duh. Do you think I'd be in my father's house? I mean, seriously, mom and dad? This is where I'm supposed to be. So at 12 years old, Jesus right then and there could have said, I'm the Messiah. I am the Son of God. He would have been arrested for blasphemy. He would have been beaten. He would have been spit on. He would have been hung on a cross. He would have been crucified. He would have been stuffed in a grave. And 3 days later, he would have rose to be Savior, 12 years old. But Jesus was patient. Jesus waited another 18 years to begin his ministry. To begin his ministry. Jesus could have solved it when he was 12. In fact, God could have ended it at creation. But God is patient. He's patient. This shows God's intentionality. This shows Jesus is intentional with every part of his life. See, with God, there are so many things that must first be fulfilled. That's why God is patient. We want Jesus to come. And if we beg Jesus and ask Jesus to come and he just comes because we're begging him, asking him, there's going to be so many people that go to hell. Because God's intentionally patient. He's intentionally waiting so that every ear hears and that none shall be separated from him. That is intentional, right? To seek and to save the lost. So your first point that you come to in your this morning is, Jesus had this intentional ministry. This is the whole crawling concept. Jesus doesn't ask you to just run and just start running. The Bible tells us if we start running immediately, we're going to flame out. So God's intentionally patient because he doesn't want us to flame out. In fact, he wants us to win the race. So Matthew 4:19 says this, follow me, he told them, and I will make you fish for people. Every person, every place, every miracle was intentional with Jesus. At first glance, when we look at Jesus' public ministry, we think it might be a little haphazard. It only lasted about 3 years. He spent some time around his hometown in Nazareth. He journeyed to Jerusalem. And on one of those journeys, he went right to Samaria. And then he heads north to an area south around Tyre and Sidon for a while. He heads east over to the Jordan and ministers to Perea for a while. And then he goes to Jericho on his way back to Jerusalem. But when we look closer at these events, right, and all of this that takes place in Jesus' life, in each one of those locations, we find that Jesus was never in any of those places by accident. In each case, there was a particular person, a people group, that he needed to minister to. The Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. She had a rough life. She needed to meet a Savior. See, the Jews went right past Samaria. They don't even want to go through Samaria. They'll go to the extra length to go around Samaria. But Jesus intentionally went to Samaria to meet this woman at the well. She had a rough life. She needed a Savior. And Jesus was intentional to get there. The crippled beggar. He's sitting there begging someone to take him and put him to the water. And Jesus gets there and succinctly says, do you even want to get healed? I'm throwing my own little, you know, personality in there. He's probably a little bit more loving than that. But in reality, he says, do you want to be healed? There's so many of us that are sick and we want all these wonderful things, but we refuse to get well because we actually like being sick. And that's what Jesus did. It was intentional. He needed to meet this beggar and to shake him up a little bit and to realize, you know, you can get down to that water. don't have an excuse. The rich young ruler, right? This guy wanted to find out how to get to the kingdom of heaven. He really wanted to know what it was like to be saved. And when Jesus gave him the point, you just have to sell everything. Come follow me. He went away sad because he had such great wealth. Right? See, Jesus was intentional in every spot, in every he went. And the best picture, the best story that I love, I preached on this one time, it was a woman. She bled for 12 years. See, in the Bible, when you're dealing with blood, it's called defilement. And you can't even be around anybody when there's blood involved. And so for 12 years, she was cast out of her home. For 12 years, she's cast out of her hometown. For 12 years, she's abandoned, she's mocked, and she's alone for 12 years. And she hears about this intentional Jesus. And she thinks to herself, if I could just touch him, not that if he could just look at me, not if I could just get his intention, if I could just touch him, if I could just touch the hem of his robe, I could be healed, this bleeding woman says. And so she does just that. This intentional Jesus is there, and she's intentional with her motive. She's suffering. But the best part about the story is of course she's healed the minute she touches Jesus. But it's what Jesus said afterwards. See, nowhere else in the Bible does Jesus call any woman daughter, except this one passage. He looks at her and calls her daughter. Because she has been suffering, she's been alone, she's been abandoned for 12 years. She didn't need just a physical healing, she needed emotional healing. She needed a mental healing. What she needed was this intentional Jesus to not just heal her physically, but to get at her emotionally. And he did call her daughter, right? All these places, there was no accident. Jesus was there on purpose. There was an intention. So here's the truth. The truth is we are all transparent to Jesus. There is nothing hidden to Jesus from us. We can't hide anything. I can stuff things in the back of my mind and bury things on top of them. I'm a builder. I can pour a foundation in there that's miles thick, right? And I could, okay, Jesus can't see that. Oh yeah, he can see right through it. It's like man can't hide anything from him, right? You can try to, but you can't. Matthew 4:9 says something like this. Jesus says, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Notice how he connected your thinking with your heart. Because that's what happens. There's this connection. There's your heart. It starts in here, and then it festers into your head. Why do you think these things with your heart? We get so burdened. We get so backlogged. We get so trodden. And Jesus knows because we are transparent to Jesus. This is what made Jesus' ministry so powerful. It was because of our transparency that Jesus' ministry became so intentional. He met each one of them places where they, each one of those people where they were. And so he meets you right where you are, with all your background, with all your burden, with all your baggage, with all your depression and anxiety and frustration, with all your grieving and doubts and fears, whatever they may be, Jesus intentionally meets you right where you are. So where are you today? Because Jesus is right, ready to intentionally meet you. Ephesians 2:10, let's see that again. It's, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Jesus had a lot of good works. He was intentional, for which God prepared beforehand. See, I busted this out last Sunday and said when I looked at the word prepared, and I did all of the original language searching, read all the commentary, and there's all this understanding that prepared is a preservative. And so I read this scripture like this last time. I said, God injected you with this preservative beforehand because he recreated you in Christ, because his fingerprints were all over you as he shaped you, formed you, and made you with every aspect, every part of you, all the good, all the bad. Prepared you. He injected you with this preservative so you can be sustained all through your life. It does not matter what you're going through. It does not matter what you've been through. God injected you with this preservative. That's an intentional Jesus, right? So if there was going to be this forensic autopsy on me, I would want to believe that there would be God's fingerprints all around me. There would be evidence of that preservative inside of me because did this intentionally. Amen? Amen. Glad you guys are all with me. This is intentionality. I do not know if that's really a word, so just it is today. Right now, if it's not a word, it's a word today. So this intentionality of this, it's easy for us. It makes it easy for us to follow Jesus, right? Jesus says, come and follow me. That's the crawling portion. He makes it easy. He doesn't say, come and run after me. He doesn't say, come and catch up to me. He stands right next to you and says, come and follow me. That's the crawling. That's this whole sermon series is this pipeline. I told you last Sunday, it's this pipe that's filled with all this wonderful information. And we're just trying to, how we can tap you into that pipeline so you can get fed some of that information. It's the 2-3-5, the second Sunday of every month, 3 to 5. We are going to help you. We are going to ask you to crawl. Just come, watch a couple videos. Check out a few things. Don't have to get involved. Just try something, right? That's what Jesus was doing. This is the epitome of coaching, discipleship, and mentoring. This is what Jesus was intentionally teaching. It was like Jesus said like this, hey, come and watch me do this wonderful thing. I'm not going to ask you to do anything except watch me do this wonderful thing. And see, and we can do that as great leaders. Remember this, the very first sermon, all believers are leaders, right? We are leaders. And so if we're going to take this as an example, then we could look at it as, hey, I want someone to get involved with Awana or VBS or the children's or the free. And I can say, hey, listen, man, if you're thinking about getting involved with the ministry, why don't you come and sit down in the children's, sit down in the nursery, come and watch a VBS, come sit down and watch Awana. That's all we want you to do. Come and watch us do our thing. And then let's go talk about it. Let's go out to lunch. Let's go knock back a couple of In-N-Out burgers. Let's go to Velvet Creamy, get a Velvet Creamery breakfast, and we'll talk about what you saw. That's intention. That's crawling. We're not asking anybody to run. And if we can do this, this whole crawling thing, we'll be able to get through a lot of things. Crawling is like this. If you start by crawling, then you can finish just about anything. So start by crawling. The next point is this. Jesus had this guided ministry. If intentional is crawling, then Jesus' guided ministry will be the form of walking, just starting to walk. So John says it like this. After this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias, and a huge crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was performing by healing the sick. That's the intentional. So Jesus went up to the mountain, sat down with his disciple. Now the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. Therefore, when Jesus looked up, he noticed another huge crowd coming towards him, and he asked Philip, where will we buy bread so these people can eat? He asked this to test him, for he himself knew what he was about to do. Again, here's the guided principle. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little. And one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, there is a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many, Lord? And here's what Jesus was taught. Jesus was not just doing this intentional thing just to leave them. He went into this guided ministry to show them. Jesus taught a lot by hands-on. He also taught in ways that we and the people around him would understand. He taught in parables and with pictures. For example, he would say the kingdom of heaven is like a great pearl. Someone walked through a field and found this wonderful pearl of great worth, and he looked at it, and he buried it back, and he ran, and he sold his house, sold his car, sold his wife, his kids, everything, and he went and bought this field. No, he didn't sell his wife and kids. I made that up. He sold everything so he can buy this field so we can have that pearl of great worth. See, that's a picture. There's another picture. It says the kingdom of heaven is like a net full of fish. And the fishermen pulled it up to the shore and they opened it up and they separated out the good fish from the bad fish. And that's the analogy of the wicked, righteous, being separated at the end. right? So Jesus taught with his hands on, watch me and do some. And now he's guiding with this principle of parables and pictures, right? So here's this another nugget. As I was doing this research, I read about this study that they did, and they asked people in between the Western civilization, that's us, and the Eastern civilization, that would be like, like a Jewish community, or like around Iran and Israel, around in those areas. And this one question, they said, describe God. And so in the Western civilization, we would say stuff like holy or righteous or sovereign. And then the study says, close your eyes and now picture those words. And so I'm reading this, and so I close my eyes, and I swear all I saw was this black picture in my mind with this white letter that said holy, or this white word that said righteous, or this white word that said sovereign. Now, I'm color. You guys might close your eyes and get something in color, but mine was black and white. I could only just picture these words. But when they went and asked the Eastern civilization, the culture, that same question, they said something completely different. They said God is like a river. God is like an eagle. God is like a fresh baked bread. And I closed my eyes, and all I could picture was this never-ending river that just flowed around me and just ebbed and moved, and it was temperate water. It was just perfect, and it just washed right over me as if taking my sins away. I mean, when I closed my eyes and I pictured an eagle, I pictured this soaring high above the mountains where you can see forever. And I'm thinking, man, that's God's perspective of my problem, of my life. He just sees past everything. And if I trust him, he'll guide me and navigate me along the way. And the weird one was, is when I pictured the bread, I could almost smell it. So that's your homework. You guys go home and try that test. Man, if you picture the fresh baked bread, try saying that. Sorry. Fresh baked bread. You will almost smell it, right? I have got to pick a lot of words that are easier to say. So Jesus was intentional, and he is guiding in the way he taught. So Jesus understood this connection between watching, and he understood the difference between words and pictures. And all of this Jesus did was to help us and motivate us to get us from crawling to walking. You see, that's where our church is turning a corner. We had this big push for Bible studies, and now Bible study is an integral part of our church. And see, now we think that this intentional leadership training, this ministry, getting plugged in, is another aspect of this. It's super important. So we are going to push it constantly, talk about this, so we understand the same principle Jesus did. So Jesus says this. He says, watch me do this, and then I want you to do something for me. Just one small part. That's the guided. That's the just starting to walk. Jesus completely understood this. And you might want to write this down. That information without application means nothing. That's what Jesus' intentionality was all about. I'm intentionally meeting you there. I'm guiding you through this process, but all this information without application is nothing. James 1:22, don't just be hearers of the word. Do what it says. Right? Completely intentional. The next point is this. Jesus had this collaborative ministry. This is where we start to walk on our own, right? We just started crawling with the intentionality. We're just starting to walk with the guided, and now this collaborative ministry gets us to our own. Luke 10 says it like this. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others, and he sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place, and underline this portion right here, where he himself was about to go. The 70s returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submit to your name. He didn't send them to a place that Jesus didn't want to go. He didn't send them to another place that Jesus didn't intend to go. Jesus sent them to a place that he himself was willing to go. That is collaborative. I'm not just sending you out to a place that I'm never going to reach. I'm sending you out to a place that I will eventually get there, right? To send home what you're saying. I love that part where it says, Lord, even the demons submit to me. Just a kind of funny side thing. And every time I read that, I think about those times where those guys went and they tried to, it was Jesus' disciples, and they tried to take a demon out. And the demon says, I know Paul, and I know Jesus, but I don't know you. And then they beat him up. I thought that was heck of funny. Okay. I must have just thought that was funny. Okay, so we have this intentionality. We have this part that's super intentional. Now we have this collaborative ministry. And we understand, this is where Jesus says, look, you go and do this, and I am going to help you do this. This is mentoring, coaching, and learning. This is a process. Jesus is saying, if you want to have an impact, you must first make contact. That's what Jesus is saying. Might want to write that down. Do a little nugget for you. If you want to make a difference, if you want to have an impact, then you have to first make contact. If you want to have an impact in your life, if you want to impact in somebody else's life, if you want to have an impact in this world, you must first make contact with Jesus. And then, and only then, can you make contact with the rest of you. If you want to have an impact, you got to make contact. Then Jesus is saying this, if you want to invite, right? If you want to invite and fill these chairs, look at all these empty chairs. If you want to fill these chairs, if you want to get people to come to VBS, if you want to reach the lost and the hurting, you have to invest. If you want to invite, you have to invest. See, Jesus invited. He said, come. He said, follow. And then he invested in their lives. If you want to invite, you invest. If you want to make an impact, you have to have contact, right? This is what Jesus is doing. This is the intentional Jesus that we miss so often, right? So this is us. We want to invest in you. We want to invest in you with the 235. We want to invest in you with the ministry grid. We want to give you the shape test and the personality test. We want you to understand you so you can walk better with God. Right? Wait to be gifted. Right? Go and do and God will gift you. I just gave you the last point. Sorry. Jesus invited us to follow and then he invested in us. See, I can't add to that. I'm sorry. I'm just going to end it right there. Jesus invited us to follow, and then he invested in us. So our last point is this. Jesus equipped us in his ministry. See, this is Paul says, if you want to win the race, if you want to persevere, if you want to fight that good fight, if you want to stand strong, then you got to run this race. And you got to run this race understanding that you have to run a distance. And you don't just go fast and burn out. Halfway through, you get your feet surrounded in God. You get an understanding. You start to crawl. You start to walk. And then the only thing left to do is to run and to run for Jesus. See, that's important. 1:8 says it like this, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus says, look, this is what's happening. You do it now. And I'm watching you. I'm praying for you. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit to work with you and to work through you. You don't have to worry about what to say. You don't even have to worry about how you're going to be. The Holy Spirit equips you. He speaks through you. And he will guide you along the way because everything God's doing, everything Jesus is doing is completely intentional for those around you. It's not just about you. So we don't have to worry about being smart or being able. We just have to want to serve, right? Then Jesus equips you. If you want to, when you want to, Jesus will equip you. Does that sound like a preacher? That sounds like a preacher. So I love this part of last sermon. I talked about shape, spiritual gifts, you know, our heart, our abilities, our personality, our experiences. And the one part of abilities, I like this one point, it said the most common excuse we have for not getting involved is that we don't feel that we have the abilities to offer. But with all the studies that they did, they found out one fact, that most people have between 500, 700 abilities. That's important. Write that down too. That was from last Sunday. So we're already pre-gifted, right? Everything Jesus did was absolutely intentional. He was intentional when he guides. He was intentional when he collaborates with us. And he's intentional when he equips you. In fact, he's so intentional, he pre-equipped you. He pre-injected you with a preservative. He worked you all out, stitched you all together, knitted you, stuffed you in your mother's room, all ready to go. He didn't leave you without something. He equipped you with everything. And with Jesus, you can do all things through Christ Jesus. Okay? Philippians 4:13. So why is this important? So every ear hears. So everyone knows that there's only one way to heaven. And that is through Jesus. A personal relationship with Jesus. So right now, I'm going to stop and I'm just going to tell you, if you don't know Jesus, you need to know Jesus. If you have a walk with Jesus and you're just kind of running through life or kind of figuring out, you just need to rededicate your life and get on that firm foundation. That's Jesus. There is no better place to be than with Jesus. No better place. He loves you. He's compassionate. He disciplines you. In fact, I would so much rather be disciplined by God than be disciplined by man. Because right? God loves me. He's intentional with his grace for me. And he does the same for you. So what good does it do? What good does it do if all of us here know that we're going to heaven? If your friend and if your family is going to hell? What good does it do? We can't just sit here in our comfy church, in our comfy chairs, and just understanding that Jesus loves me and he gives me grace without saying that if I want to make an impact, I first got to have contact. If I want to invite, I have to invest. It's going to cost me something great to do something. We need to be intentional like Jesus. Right? We need to get up and go when Jesus asks. And no matter what the cost, no matter what the cost, division in our family, persecution, being mocked, Jesus went through the same thing. It does not matter what the cost. We need to be that example to our fans, friends and family. We need to live that light and to be that for the people around us. We need to be intentional. We need to guide people. We need to be collaborative with them and with each other, right? If we are gonna feel God's equipped, if we're gonna be equipped by God. That brings us right back to Ephesians 2:10, doesn't it? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, so that God preserved us beforehand that we should walk in them. This is, circle that, we should walk in them. There is, that's intentional. There's no excuse here. God injected you with a preservative beforehand to sustain you through all the stuff that you're going through. And what you need to do is get up and go for Jesus. You need to walk in his principles and his concepts. We need to understand that I want to make an impact. I want to invest in people. I want to do something great, not for my or for my kingdom, but for God's kingdom. We have this one shot. You can either waste away be completely overwhelmed by grief and prosperity or suffering or this. We can be completely overwhelmed and just laid waste. Or we can take all of that and lay it on the feet of Jesus and have him do something great with you because of it. Don't look at it as a crutch. Don't look at it as being crippled. Look at it as God has healed the crippled. He has thrown the crutches away. He's let the blind see. He's healed the wounded. Right? He's raised you and me from the dead. That is Jesus. That is King Jesus. Can I get an amen for King Jesus? At least. So for us to be these great leaders, know that it's Jesus that you follow. Know that it's Jesus who shaped you. It's that Jesus that you are replicating. Intentional, helping, working with each other. See, then and only then can we be the leaders that God has created us to be. And so I leave you with this conclusion. It's Timothy 2. Timothy, my dear brother, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. I would underline that. Be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach these things that I have confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Are you trustworthy? effort to pass this on to a new world. You just heard God's word. This message is ancient. It's nothing new. Next Sunday, you'll hear another ancient message that's nothing new. There's nothing new with God. Just know that he's completely intentional with everything he does. He's going to guide you. He's going to work with you. And he's going to equip you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God,